intents of the heart. One of the women called out on this weekend was told exactly what she was thinking. On Wednesday night, a woman was saved from a stroke, was healed from a stroke, and she was there. She's sitting on the right hand right now. You were told the exact page in a book you were reading. Not now, but how long ago? A year ago or 2 years ago? Exact page in a book that she was reading a few years ago, and not just something about that page, but it named the number of the page and told that she was hung up on that page. And I think the number was, because it's that peculiar number, it was 16. Peace. There she stands. It sets right back there. She was healed of a stroke. Because I knew her thoughts. I looked into her mind and I separated the bone from the marrow. I'm sharper than a two-edged sword. You feel it already. If you're in this room, you feel the sharpness, because I cut deep. I cut into your old traditions. I cut into your old ways. I cut into your old lifestyle. I cut. Peace. I am sharper than a two-edged sword. I am a discerner of the thoughts. And I surely know the intents of the heart. And that is what the Word of God is. Hebrews 4:12 tells you that's the only way you can know the Word of God. When the Word of God comes, it will be sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will discern the thoughts, and it will know the intents of the heart. And I ask you, if I'm not doing it, who is? Peace. I am showing you your thoughts. And you go home and read Hebrews 4:12, and you'll know then more and more what I am. So what is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is made flesh and dwells amongst us, and you behold the glory. You don't get no glory until the Word is made flesh. And now you're getting some glory, because I have made the Word flesh. Peace. Say, that cannot be. You cannot be that. You can be exactly what you think you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If in my mind I desire to become God to you, I can become God to you. If in my mind I want to become a fool to you, I can be a fool. But I don't think we need any more fools, but we do need to see God. So in my mind, I knew that the promises were yea and amen. As a man thinketh in his mind or heart, so is he. In my heart, you know the history. When the great combustion took place, when I was just about 4 or 5 years of age, when I was dying, in my heart, I listened and I believed. When all the churches had closed their door to me and I was in poverty and filth and squalor, I listened that I was the only God to me there was. I listened to that voice, and it healed me when I was dying, and it's brought me through gunshots, it's brought me through stabbings, it's brought me through trucks that have run over me, it's brought me through oppositions, persecutions, it's brought me through all kinds of temptations and trials. But more than that, hallelujah, because I have yielded myself to God fully and completely. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Jim Jones, but Christ that liveth in me. If I am dead and Christ lives, that means this is the body of Jesus Christ. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Peace. That light bulb has all the power. Just one little light bulb has all the power of all the energy that's in this whole great big building. This edifice, a universe of a building. That one light bulb has all the energy. It's got the same power that's coming out of the source. That's what is the case here tonight. I've got the same power that came out of the source. The same power that said in the beginning, let there be light. It's now the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now that makes you upset, some of you, but it said, ye are the lights of the world. Why don't you let me chip off a little bit of that ye and make it an I? It is written, ye are the lights of the world. Well, I want you to know I'm one of those ye, and I'm a mighty big ye. When you recognize that ye are the light of the world, then I will go back into the ye. But until you recognize who you are, I'll sure as the dickens I'm going to declare who I am. I know who I am. You ought to know just as much as I know who I am. And when you recognize who you are, then I will cease to have to tell you who I am. But until you recognize who you are, hallelujah. And you haven't suffered because of me finding out who I am. You have been healed. Death has been removed from you. The curses have been cast from you. Houses have been given to you. Land has been provided for you. Your lives have been protected when everybody else has been bombed, have been injured, and all the other churches that have been burned down here, there have been injuries. I have protected every one of you because you recognize and believe in your heart. In your heart, you think I am, and in my heart, I know I am. Hallelujah. 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 Praises be the name of God. Jehovah Jireh. Bless you. Hallelujah. As you think, so are you. You are promised that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you were able to even ask, much less to think. Said he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or to think. Have you ever asked to see God? Have you ever asked to see God Almighty? Have you ever hoped to see God Almighty? Have you ever thought that there might be a possibility to see God Almighty? Well, I'm telling you, it is written that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you are able to ask or even to think. Praises. Peace. Now indeed, some have got the good judgment to take the word at its face value. That as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So Father thinks in his heart that he is God. And in his heart, he is God. Because Jesus said, ye are gods. Now that is scripture. It said, to whom the scripture, the letter of love, has come, and it cannot be broken, it is written, ye are God. St. John, the 10th chapter, I think it is. And it cannot be broken. It said, then it is that ye are all gods. Well, I had to manifest my own individuality in God, my own personification of God, that you might know what you are. Now you say, all I got to do then is go out and become God. Oh no, it takes a lot of dying. It takes a lot of dying. I've come down through 42 generations. I have been strafed. I've been shot. I've been hung. I've come through lynch mob leaders. I've come through hangings. I've come through every kind of opposition. I have come down through 42 generations treading the wine presses alone. It will take you a while to get crucified with Christ. So don't run out there and get cocky and say you're going to be just like Jim Jones on Gary Avenue tonight, because you won't make it that quick. But if you get a hold of this principle, it will come forth in you in due season. But you've got to take a copy. You've got to look at the original. You've got to take a reflection an introspection and a deep analysis of what you see. You've got to look at it and copy it. You know, when someone wants to take a picture, they get into proper perspective and they must focus their lens. They want to be sure that they can see what they're looking at. Some of you have never even taken a look at me, much less listened to me. You've never even taken a look at me. And if you had taken a look at me, only a look would have saved you. Only a look would have saved you. Look and live, my children, live. It is written, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you would take me at face value and at surface value, if you would take what I'm saying, the holy truth that I'm giving you, if you'd get a pure heart, listen to what I'm saying, take my words seriously and heed my commandments and get free of racism and pure of social injustices and purify yourself from the love of money, which is the root of all evil, the capitalistic warmongering system. If you would purify yourself from the love of money and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, if you would purify your heart, the moment you get pure in heart, that moment, not tomorrow, but today, that moment, you will not think you see God, you will know you see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see who God. You understand the mystery? They shall see God. It didn't say they will see God, or sometime in the rapture they will see God, or sometime in the great celestial future they will see God, but it said, blessed are the present tense, blessed are the pure in heart, for now they shall see God. Blessed, hallelujah. Now, thank you. It's a great mystery. And yet it's so simple. See, I have trouble believing it in you as the author and finisher. Well, you've never had any trouble believing in Sky God, you mean? You mean you haven't had some trouble believing in one of those? Well, I'm sure you must have had some trouble. Why don't you try with something littler until you can understand something bigger? Because are you sure, if you're honest, you've had some trouble understanding the sky? You've had some difficulty understanding the sky God. You've had some difficulty understanding the kind of God that King James told about. Now, I want this kept together because I'm linking both Wednesday and Thursday together, and I don't want to have to go through this every night. And it's a job to get everything linked together because folk don't want to hear the truth too easily. Now, you tell me you didn't have some difficulty believing in the story of the sky God as King James of England said it? If you didn't, then you're a dummy. Because according to King James here, God was up there in the skies. That's what Billy Graham says in all these evangelists, that he's up there in the skies, and he was lonely, and he made some angels, some cherubims and some seraphims, and they started singing hosannas to him and hallelujah. But that still was too boring to him. He made him a more beautiful angel. The most beautiful angel of all he made, according to King James, was Lucifer. Because he didn't like those angels that were singing in the same tones, the cherubims and the seraphims. So he made him a most beautiful angel, and they called him Lucifer. But he made him too well. Now, I'm not talking about the true God. I'm talking about what King James has said. He made Lucifer so well that Lucifer led off a third of his angels into a revolt. Now, isn't it true? Lucifer led off one-third of the angels into revolt. Now, whose fault was that? Lucifer didn't ask to be made. God made him. The sky God made him, according to the old tradition. The sky God made Lucifer. Is that right? In the beginning, God. And out of God proceeded everything. You mean you haven't had any trouble believing in that kind of God? You haven't had any trouble believing in the King James God? Remember when God, according to King James, not the true God, but according to King James, God had one faithful man. Who was that man? Job. Everybody else had gone to hell. Everybody else had cursed God and died. But he said, I've got one faithful servant left. Lucifer came up and he said, see here, Satan, I've got one faithful servant you can't touch. Lucifer said, give me a chance at him. He said, you messed up on everything you've made. Give me a chance at him. God says, oh no, you can do with him what you will. Now, isn't that a fine way to reward faithfulness? Now, when you're faithful to me, now I say I'm just an earthly God. I'm just a temple of the Holy Spirit of truth. I'm just a simple epistle. But when you're faithful to me, I don't turn you over to Satan. That'd be like me. I look down there tonight and I say, well, who's faithful? Lois Ponce, she's been a good nurse. You're faithful. I'm going to see how faithful you are. I'm going to send you out over here into one of these bad sections of town and to see how well you do without your clothes on. That's just about how stupid it is. I take one of you out and I say, all right, I'll put you over here with a den of devils. I want you to prove how faithful you are. That's not the way you treat faithful people. You don't treat faithful people that way. When you find somebody faithful, you give them more and more encouragement and more love and more protection. You don't try to give them more tests. I'm talking about the living God. I don't know what you do about your dead God, but I know what the living God does. Peace. Well, Job had been faithful in all of his ways. And he says, I'm going to let the hedge down. God, the false God. The King James God said, go let the hedge down. And lo and behold, what did come to Job? What happened to him? You name it. Children was taken. Cattle was taken. Houses were gone. Lands were parched. Finally, he got boils. Everything was taken from Job. He had boils and the skin worms got in his boils. And poor Job. I wish I had people who were faithful for me for all I do for them as much as that Job dummy was to that sky god. Because Job stood up and said, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh, rotten as it is, I will see God. Now, if somebody like Job could see God with all the hell he was going through, why can't you see God tonight? Hallelujah. Peace. Peace. All these things, and you say you didn't have any trouble believing it. You didn't have any trouble believing in the sky God. Well, you did have trouble. I'll link you up with the universal mind if you'll just give me time. But first you've got to get rid of the old gods before you can get the living God. You can't put any new wine into old vessels. You can't patch up this garment. You've got to get a new garment of praise and a new garment of service and a new garment of thanksgiving. You had trouble. You did have trouble. Many a time the heavens were brass. Many times you couldn't get your prayer above your head. Many times it seemed like all of the clouds were falling in on you. It was so heavy, the soul pressure. Don't tell me you didn't have trouble believing before you saw me. You had trouble. When you got into the legal difficulty, there was no attorneys provided for you. There was no home provided for you when you were lonely. You didn't know whether you were going to have any place to go to when you got old. But somebody came along and changed all that. Somebody made a difference in your life. Somebody made the living God real to you. You're precious. You may be seated. You had as much trouble as Job did. More. Because you see, it doesn't make any sense. In the beginning was God. If King James is right, why did he make a devil? No one made him make a devil. I know Billy Graham, some of them says, well, he made the devil so he could tempt you. Well, why did he make you? Those are questions you cannot answer. I mean, you see, if you were up there, you have to put yourself in the other fellow's shoes for a moment. If you were that sky god and you were up there alone, I know what some of you would do. You say, well, I got myself in this mess. I'm at least not going to put my pain on anybody else.
Come on now.
Some of you say, I don't know how I got to be God, but if I'm in this situation, I'm not going to put it on anybody else. You just go through the deep recesses of the space, and you let the dark just keep on covering the deep. But that fellow wanted to get some light out. It'd been fine if King James was right, but the kind of God he described didn't make any sense at all. Because after he got the light out, he put a devil out. He put darkness out with light. All supposedly to test you. The first story, the first chapter is enough for you to have trouble to believe. The first chapter in the book of Genesis is enough for you to have trouble believing. Because you see vegetables growing before the sun comes out. You hear something put together in 6 days. That's pretty rough to get all that together in 6 days. You have all that to believe, and you've got to believe that. And you say you had no trouble believing that. Well, you do have trouble if you go back there and read it, because you find there's two creation stories, first Genesis and second Genesis, and the two of them don't agree. They tell the same story exactly, but they changed it. The whole history, the whole development is changed in the second chapter till you don't know which ends up. But more than that, Adam and Eve, what do? They didn't ask to come into this mess. But God gets a hold of some dust. He's tired of angels now, and the best, most beautiful angel he made, he's gone and flit off into space somewhere and taken a third of his angels, so he's going to try on a little man. So he gets him some dust, and he forms something up there, and he says, now, Adam. Adam, all right, because it's been damn ever since it started. Adam. Adam. So we look at Adam, and he says, well, Adam don't look quite complete. Everything we've got has come because of the false God being taught. That's why you've got to get a true God. That's why women got so much trouble today. That's why women don't count for nothing. That's why women don't have equal pay. They can do the same amount of work, but they won't get half the pay. They won't get the job promotions. They never get a hold of the top of the organization. They never get to really own the businesses. Somehow they're blocked in the wage market. It all comes back to Adam and Eve. Because where did Eve? Eve only counted for one rib out of Adam. It took a whole mud pile to make Adam. But after he made Adam, this false King James God just plucked out one rib from Adam, and that was woman. Woman out of man. You see, the whole reason we're in trouble today, the whole reason blacks are mistreated, the whole reason women are mistreated, it comes from the false religion. Here it says, in King James, it says, servants, slaves, obey your master. That's why Indians and blacks and poor whites have been slaves for hundreds of years. Because it says, slaves, obey your master. If you've got a good master, be thankful. If you've got a bad master, endure him. That's what it says in the book. But Christ didn't say it, because he said, in Christ we're free. There's no male, no female, no bond, no free. But King James said a lot of stuff. You've got to get the words of Christ separate from all the King James says. And who would know what Christ said better than Christ? Now, I won't elaborate on that, because if you didn't get what I was saying then, you were very much asleep. Now, Adam and Eve, they began the situation. And they were told by God, and I'm closing on that subject, and that portion in just a moment. And they were told by the false God of King James that they didn't know anything. After all, they'd just come from mud, and one of them from a rib. They didn't know anything. And he said, there's two trees out there, and one of them you can eat of, and the other one you dare not. You can eat of the tree of life, but you don't dare eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat the tree that will teach you what's right from wrong. You know what I'm saying? You can't eat of that tree that tells you what's right from wrong. Well, now, if you don't eat of a tree, if you don't know right from wrong, how are you going to know to keep from doing right from wrong? If you can't get the knowledge of right and wrong, how are you going to know what's right and what's wrong? I say, just as stupid as it is, as stupid as telling a bullfrog not to try to catch flies. Or a pussycat to keep him from chasing mice. Because he don't know any better. He doesn't know one thing but to go after those mice. And that bullfrog, every once in a while, you'll throw that tongue out and get him a fly. He doesn't know it's wrong to take flies. You're going to have to teach him. You're going to have to let him eat some tree. I've lost half these people now. The other half that I had, I've lost half of them. It's too hard this way, but I think it's the only way we got to go. If we only end up with just a Gideon's number, if we only end up with a Gideon's army of 300, I'd rather have 300 people who got their good senses than 300 dummies. So Adam and Eve didn't know any difference, and so they go over there, and what the God says, you eat that tree, the moment you do, the day you eat thereof, in that day, you will surely die, he said. Not only was he not a false god, he was a liar. Because they walk over here now, the most beautiful angel is turned into a snake in the meantime. The old snake's sitting there, and he's sitting there in the garden, and he sees Eve going, tripping by, and he says, honey, you rip off that apple, you won't die. So you can just rip that apple off right now. You can take that apple off of there and you won't die. He said, the day you eat that apple, that God lied to you. When you eat that apple, your eyes are going to get open and you're going to know right from wrong. And God don't want you to have the same knowledge that he's got. And if the moment you eat that apple, you're going to know right from wrong. Now who told the truth? Because she tripped over there and she ripped off that apple because her husband was hungry and it looked like the best thing around. And she didn't know right from wrong because she hadn't eaten it yet. Because she couldn't judge her because she didn't eat what would give her the knowledge from right and wrong. So she took the apple. And she's judged for doing something that she yet has not learned to discern. Because if you don't know right from wrong, in a court they'll never sentence you. If you have an inability to discern right from wrong, they'll put you in an institution or a hospital. They won't put you in a prison. If they say that you're unable to discern right from wrong, they'll call you nuts, but they don't judge you. They won't judge you. They won't put you in a jail. They don't sentence you. But here's a God who's supposed to make somebody that didn't know right from wrong, didn't know right from wrong, didn't know the bottom side from the top side, and he sends them out there, and so naturally they're going to get in trouble. Then he can't even keep his own word. That the day you eat, you're going to die. But the serpent says, the day you eat, your eyes are going to get open. And so they ate. And they got eyes open because they started doing stuff they hadn't done before. They went back and Adam looked at Eve. And Eve looked at Adam and said, you don't look the same. And then a little bit later, we got Cain and Abel. And the whole story, and I'm going to quit right there, because there's enough to cause you to have trouble believing. Cain, Adam, and Eve are the first man and woman. They have Cain and they have Abel. And Cain, what happened? Cain slew Abel with the jawbone of an ass. Now that left only three. Left only three, right? Any fool would know that left only three. But Cain took a walk over into the land of Nod and got him a wife. Where'd she come from?